hello and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio, where we spotlight and highlight companies that do business in Gwinnett County, along with the men and women that lead them. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, and we're broadcasting live from the Gwinnett studio of Business Radio X, located in Duluth at Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place. And joining me is my co-host and resident funny man, Stephen Julian. Good morning, Stephen.
You laughed before I even said anything, Mike.
That's... I just look at you and I laugh.
Well, that's, yeah. I'm funny, and sometimes it's what I say, not just how I look.
It's not the looks. It's that I know funny stuff is going to come out of your mouth at some point.
That's a lot of pressure, Mike. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Can't complain.
Good.
Some friends in the studio today, all excited to talk with them. Joining us today is Brian Clace. He's with Critical Response Systems. And my friend Chloe Amara from Treetop Quest, which is at the Gwinnett Heritage Center. That's the skyline, zip lines, I should say. I know you've probably done that plenty of times, Stephen.
Yes. And the last time is probably my last time.
We just made the connection that hopefully the zip line and the critical response systems is, you know,
Mike, you know how to book them.
Hopefully there won't be a relationship where, you know, Chloe's sending a lot of business to Brian.
Well, we bring business leaders together, and these two needed to come together, so that's a good thing.
All right.
Why don't we let them talk?
That's the comedy portion of our show, Brian. Thank you very much for, walking out already in the first minute. But Brian Clace from Critical Response Systems, you are the vice president. Talk about Critical Response Systems. What is the company all about?
Well, Critical Response Systems has been around since about 2005, and what we do is we provide telecommunication systems for public safety agencies and healthcare organizations. We, kind of in a nutshell, it's really two-way paging, response paging, that we install in either county governments, so it'd be Gwinnett County would have an entire system that would cover the entire county, and all the firefighters, first responders in the entire county would be carrying our two-way devices. The idea is that when a dispatch in the public safety sector, when a dispatch goes out, the message goes out to the firefighters. The firefighters from their device can read the dispatch, see what they're supposed to do, and respond directly from their device. That all feeds back to dispatch and to the incident commanders, so they can then go out and better assess, I guess, their involvement or their response to the incident.
You mentioned pagers.
Pagers.
And you think of pagers, like, wait a minute, aren't those outdated? But apparently the technology is advanced?
The technology is advanced just slightly. One of the things we're seeing, pagers are considered dead, an obsolete technology, when they're used in the commercial sense. So no one's carrying pagers. Business people aren't using pagers. They're using cell phones. They're using smartphones. Well, in the public safety sector and in the healthcare market, they understand that paging is still an extremely reliable technology. And and unlike cell phones and smartphones that are kind of complicated and have these outside influences that can take down and delay messages, paging still is a very, very reliable aspect. So what we've done is we've come out with this alternate paging technology called response paging. And paging historically has always been a one-way communication path. And that was one of the big pitfalls moving from paging into cellular now, is that paging as a technology, you send the message to the individuals, you have no idea if they got the message, if they've read the message, or if they're going to respond to the incident, whether it's a cardiac arrest or whether it's a structure fire or whatever it may be. Response paging gives that feedback back to the dispatch, back to the sender, so they now know the results of their dispatch.
So, I mean, this is something that should not be taken lightly, because you're talking life or death.
That's exactly right. So what we see in a lot of these county governments, whether there's rural or kind of a Gwinnett kind of type environment, is that people are now moving from one-way paging. Their old paging networks are all kind of going down, and they're deciding, I'm going to migrate. And one of the things they look at a lot of times is cellular. And they say, I want to use my smartphone. I want to use my Sprint or Nextel phone. And what happens is, that's great. That's, you know, most of the time you get a text message and it gets there in 4 or 5 seconds. Well, sometimes it takes an hour. Sometimes it takes an hour and a half. Sometimes it never gets there. We've all had that experience. Now think about a disaster. Say, God forbid, something bad happens in Gwinnett Place Mall, or just even a structure fire, and all of a sudden everybody around that event, they're all texting each other and saying, look what, oh my God, this building's on fire, please. Those text messages are slowing down the network. And if the first responders in that same area are relying on text messaging, then their messages are going to be slower, and the first responders are going to be delayed getting to the scene. And so you have that aspect. You also have an aspect with basically, you know, cellular and AT&T, Verizon's networks are basically not self-contained. So what happened is when we saw the earthquake in D.C. last year, basically that shut down cell service and delayed cell messages over the entire Eastern Seaboard. Well, if you're a Gwinnett County using text messaging and cell phones for those dispatches, just even though the event is not related to you, not related to Gwinnett County, Gwinnett County's messages would be delayed. Hmm. And so with our system, you put in your own network, you get not only the you get the response information that you get out of cellular, but you get the reliability and the simplicity that you get out of one-way paging.
Brian, one of the things you said that paging hasn't necessarily majorly advanced, yet it sounds like what you're offering is a lot different than traditional paging. Other than the fact that it's two-way, and sounds like the reliability over cell service, because I know none of us in this room or anybody listening online has never had a problem with their cell service.
Of course.
Right. So I can see that reliability issue. What are some of the other advances you guys offer versus maybe other one-way paging? Is it just the two-way or are there other things?
Well, we also offer encryption. So that's a big issue in both public safety and in healthcare. In healthcare, we all know HIPAA and patient confidentiality. One of the things we see in public safety as well for encryption, you'll see it on the news. You'll see a structure fire or a car accident, and you'll see that Fox News kind of have a helicopter hovering above the incident, and they don't know what's going on. They've been able to, or they do know what's going on, and you don't even see the police there. What happens is now you can actually encrypt all your messages from your dispatch to first responders so that you can keep the news out, and that way you can contain the information and you can disseminate the information that you see is fit.
So who are your customers? Because it's not your typical resident. These are people. These are first responders that you work with.
Yes, our typical customers. We are doing little to no business in Gwinnett. Actually, we're trying to get into Gwinnett. Our current customers right now are county governments in the Eastern Seaboard. We have in Rochester, New York, for example, the entire county is using our system. And so the county government will put in the system, and then all the firefighters and fire stations in the government, in the county, will buy units from us. We also have kind of a city of Richmond, Virginia. We have hospital systems in Texas and Baltimore. We've provided our network equipment to places like Ecuador and Chile. We have systems all over. It tends to be on, basically either the Eastern Seaboard of the U.S. or South America for some reason. But
gotcha. How long has the company been around?
It's 2005, so we've been in business for 7 years.
Now, is this a company you helped start?
Yes, it is. I was actually an engineer working for a previous company developing this technology, and then in 2005, that other company kind of closed its doors, and we jumped in. My business partner and I, and we took it over.
Is your business partner local?
He is local. He is local as well.
So how did you get the business up in New York and Richmond, Virginia?
Well, with public safety alerting, it's everywhere. And so it just happened to be some random connections at trade shows, and all of a sudden things just took off from there.
How do you get your leads these days now? I mean, you just have to pick up the phone and try to call these leaders?
That's exactly it. We've been a lot of word of mouth and a lot of just internet marketing at the moment.
Going back to you've talked about how it's used in the public sector and first responders. Two questions. One, talk a little bit more about how it works in a healthcare system. And two, are there any other markets? I've been sitting here kind of brainstorming, and I'm sure you have too. So what other markets other than those two that you're possibly targeting?
Well, in the healthcare market, what we do is our pagers are used, I say pagers, our responder devices are used in the critical care units of healthcare. What we typically do is we tie our equipment to what's called a middleware device, middleware platform that usually sits inside these healthcare environments. What happens is the physical monitors, the phys monitors that are hooked up to patients that are reading heart rate monitors and blood pressure, and they kick out alarms. They kick out various alarms for low blood pressure, high heart rate, low heart rate, whatever it may be. And those alarms get sent to our devices. Our devices will then, when the doctor picks up the device and reads the message, the system knows, okay, this doctor is going to go to that patient. If the doctor or nurse is busy, they can push a different button, single button press, you know, push a different button, and that'll notify the system to escalate it to another individual. Or if the doctor doesn't read it or nurse doesn't read the message or the pager's turned off, the system will know and then escalate the message automatically. The main goal is to get someone to the event, the alarm, as quick as possible. And the idea is that if someone can't get there, if a message is sent out and we know they can't get there, we can then escalate the situation, again, as quick as possible.
You know, you sit over there, Steve, and you're saying you're brainstorming, you know, what other markets, you know, what other areas can, is something like it just seems like that, you know, when people see that the cell phone service all of a sudden doesn't work anymore, internet's not working after an emergency, that the public at some point is going to say, you know, how do we get this kind of reliability?
I'm thinking chain of command backup, if that's in your budget. I'm thinking also very large warehouse logistical situations, I'm sure would be huge.
Logistics systems, and even in hospitality, you can use our systems for some simple things. Housekeeping could use the system, and just as they go into a room, they get dispatched to a room. They go in, they
I'm here.
Then they do their work, and they hit, I'm done. And then they get another dispatch for a different room. What you can do is then take all of that information. When we do this now for healthcare, but you take all that information and you feed it back to a kind of a data warehouse, data mining dashboard, and then you can look up and say, well, this nurse in healthcare, or you know, this maid took her X number of minutes on average to clean rooms over the course of, say, this 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then you say, well, this other maid, it's taking her half the time. Why? And you can then do analysis and basically take actionable items, you know.
Well, Brian, if only we had large warehouse type businesses in Gwinnett County, and if only we had a great healthcare system in Gwinnett County. I don't know why you came on this show. I there's no leads up here.
Yeah, of course. I don't know why either.
Wasting your time. So
not Gwinnett County at all. Yeah. I would think, and I hope this doesn't come out the wrong way, but if when there is a disaster, whether it be, you know, what's happened up in New York recently or whatever, and your system's in place and people see that it actually works, that's what sells your product. I mean, you know, because you hate to, for people to realize they need what you have, and, you know, wait until a disaster before they realize, I need to get with Brian and find out about the system.
That's funny, because that's exactly what just happened up in New York. We had dispatchers from the Rochester area that came down to New York to help during Sandy. Wow. And what happened was as Sandy came through, it actually turned out to be about 25 to 30% of all cell towers went down during Sandy. And so just even if messaging was taking place and the network wasn't slow, you lost 30% of your coverage. Well, and if you're again first responders and dispatching, that's a significant amount of coverage loss in a county. Well, those dispatchers from New York were telling the dispatchers from, it was Suffolk County in New York, they were saying, you need to get this system, and you need to. This is something you need to be doing, and that's kind of where it gets back to word of mouth marketing, and kind of that's kind of how primarily we've been doing things in the past. But
I'm not an engineer background like you have. In layman's terms, explain to a dumb dumb like me, why do we lose the cell phone service? Why do we lose all our other service? Yet your service, we can count on that. What the technology wise, how's that work?
There's multiple reasons. Number one reason is, you know, a cell phone is a very complex device, very complex network. There's lots of components to make it work. It's also used commercially, so that you have the bandwidth between towers is very high. The antenna systems are very complex. Paging is just not that way. And that's what paging, you know, you're never going to stream video to a pager. You're going to get a small text message, and that's about it. That's the maximum you're going to really get out of it. Because of that complexity, it's very easy to fail. I mean, if you think about it, anything with a lot of moving parts, any one part and the whole thing goes down. Paging, there's just not that many moving parts. And that's what makes it simple. People don't like it because it's so simple, but because it's so simple is what makes it work.
It's going to save lives.
Exactly.
I actually did go to an engineering school, but I'm still a dum-dum like Mike, which is why we work well together. So cell towers and smartphones, the technology just continues to race ahead. I know I have clients who talk about overseas, oh, they're all on fiber optic and pagers, I'm assuming, obviously are kind of tied to the old-fashioned phone systems that are still an infrastructure here. Can pagers, is there going to become a point where pagers are too obsolete, or can they at least keep up but keep their simplicity and reliability as we continue to move forward in our communication infrastructure?
Well, we have been moving the paging technology as a whole has been inching forward. Response paging is kind of that next evolutionary step of paging. We can, you know, for in a healthcare environment right now, we can receive EKG readings to the device. So a doctor or nurse gets, you know, a message that says a patient's going into cardiac arrest, and a few seconds later they get a message on the same pager that's showing the EKG graphs. You know, those are kind of small incremental steps that kind of keep paging in the, you know, relevant. In terms of the, you talk about the cell phone, or it's not cell phones, I'm sorry, but the telephone networks and kind of the underlying infrastructure, that also has migrated up. So paging now, you know, we run it over DSL lines and fiber optics and satellite links to the site. So we are moving the backhaul network up as well.
So at its core, what you rely on, or your value-added proposition is, if all you really need to do is communicate, if all you really need to do is talk and get a message back, then just keep it at that, and we'll get your reliability up to the highest it can possibly go, which is what you need. So communication being key. So all those people out there who have their cell phones go, I just want to make a call. I mean, but in your situation, it's an environment where that really is all they need to do, and you guys deliver it the best.
That's exactly right.
It's fantastic.
What are your growth plans now? You're on the move. You're rising. You're adding business. You mentioned now wanting to actually get into Gwinnett County. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, in 5 years, at this point, I mean, our 5-year plan is to have hundreds of systems out there, certainly being Gwinnett County and being other areas in Atlanta. Right now, we're actually looking to hire some salespeople, going to bring them on and really grow the sales force. But, yeah, we certainly are on the growth path as we go.
That's great, Brian. How do people get in touch with you? How do the governments get in touch with you, the folks that want to find out more and talk about your system?
Well, they're free to call me, or which I'm sure the phone number is going to be on the website. And I go to criticalresponse.com, which also I'm sure is going to be a link from your
website. Absolutely.
And just contact Brian Clace, and I will certainly kind of get them moving and kind of set up, you know, site plans and go and do demonstrations and really show them what we can offer them.
Give that website one more time.
It's www.criticalresponse.com.
All right. Sounds wonderful. It's exciting. And I mean, it's.
I feel smarter.
Smarter and safer,
yeah,
really.
A little safer. Yep,
you feel
absolutely.
Safer if, you know, the first responders actually
don't
have the system.
Don't wait for that disaster.
Can you imagine, I mean, an emergency going on and they're trying to get on their phone or whatever, and it's just not working?
Well, the being here at Office Suites Plus, and of course, Brian, you had to say in your example, Gwinnett Place Mall, which is where we're right across from here at Office Suites Plus. And I thought, oh, great. That's just wonderful news. What a great story. I'm glad that's in my head. But if you have people responding, that's a good thing.
Brian, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Also joining us this morning on Gwinnett Business Radio is Chloe Amaro from Treetop Quest. They're over at the Gwinnett Heritage Center. Is it Buford? Is it Lawrenceville or Buford? It's Buford off Highway 20 up there, not far from where I live and where you live, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they have the zip lines. Hopefully, you know, there won't be any first responders coming to see you anytime soon. You know, that Brian's going to be working with. But talk about what's going on up there. What is Treetop Quest?
Okay. First of all, Treetop Quest has a French parent company that is specializing in outdoors recreation industry for over 10 years now.
Because you're not from the South, are you?
I'm not.
South
I can say
France.
I'm from Alabama. Nobody, trust me. So I came along with the company. I personally have been here for 4 years, and we established Treetop Quest 2 years ago. The parent company, as I mentioned, has been in business for over 10 years, and we have 7 parks in France, and they tried to establish here, and we ended up in this beautiful Gwinnett County. And so we worked with the region in France has a partnership with the city of Atlanta, government facilities. And we've been working closely with Gwinnett Chamber of Commerce, Partnership Gwinnett, and the French-American Chamber of Commerce, and of course the Gwinnett Environmental and Heritage Center, who had chosen us to implement this this wonderful activity. And it's going to sound very stupid, but Georgia has a perfect weather and good trees. So that's why we ended up here in Gwinnett County.
I didn't realize this. You told me this a while back, but ziplining, as you say, is very popular in France and over in Europe, and it's really now starting to explode here. You're starting to see it really grow. What is it that makes, first of all, explain exactly what is ziplining for people go, what are you talking about? What is ziplining? I don't know what that means.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. Tell you that.
Do that verbally. Good luck.
Thank you. We not only have zip lines. That's the main difference between zip lining and the treetop obstacle course that we have.
Okay.
A treetop obstacle course is composed of platforms tightened around trees and linked between each other from one another with different obstacles. And so you go from platform to platform or from tree to tree using those obstacles acting as bridges. And so we have 70 obstacles, 20 zip lines, and six different courses. So one of the course, the level zero, which is called chickpea course, is for kids aged 4 to 6. And so even little kids can participate. They, of course, have a different equipment, but then it goes from level 1 to level 5, from easy, a walk in a park, to very challenging, like American Ninja Warrior style. just to give you a brief idea, some obstacles are tight ropes. You're going to have to climb a cargo net, a simple beam, some loops, some swings. You're going to feel like Tarzan, and, of course, zip lines.
I haven't heard your level yet, Mike.
Probably -1.
Right. That's
from what she just said.
I threw the softball out there. And
what's that show on ABC where they have to go through this obstacle course and they keep getting knocked off?
Wipeout.
Wipeout. It almost sounds like Wipeout. Obviously, not as dangerous.
Except you don't want to wipe.
Yeah. No, you don't have anybody trying to knock you off the course.
Well, and I was going to ask an obvious question. You can go to kids as young as age 4 to 6. That's impressive. But obviously, this is not just for kids. And obviously, this is not just for individuals. I would imagine groups take advantage of your
definitely,
courses.
Definitely. It's first of all, it's a very good family activity since we can accept kids as young as 4 years old. And it's a great team-building exercise because you rely on each other, and it works on your confidence and self-confidence, trust. You have to trust your peers because they tell you how to do the obstacle, to go through the obstacle the easier way. So it's a great team-building exercise and family activity at the same time.
Are there any limitations? Are there any people, you know, and I'm thinking of going to the park and seeing if you have a bad back, if you have a heart condition, don't ride this ride. What would be the only cautions, I guess, that you would throw out there?
If you are not in a good physical condition.
Oh, too bad for me.
No, you would. You would. No, we like to remind people that it is a physical activity.
Right.
That is why we have different levels, so we can accept different people, different persona. And so it's a lot of, you're going to have to duck, squat, and jump, spin, swing, and zip as well, and fly through the trees. So we, of course, have a weight limit, and but that's for everybody, just like any other activity. And but we offer season passes. And just to go back to the physical aspect of the activity, those season passes are bought by parents for their kids, so they have a physical, a different physical activity, and by some ladies just to come and exercise, and it's a good workout. So some ladies take advantage of the membership to come every Sunday to work out for an hour or two.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You can. It sounds like you can do this at your own pace, whether you just want to do slow and just, you know, not be safe. I mean, you're going to be safe anyway, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But you take it slow, or if you want to kind of, you know, time yourself maybe and see how fast you can get through the obstacle course.
Exactly. You can time yourself if you want, because there is we have a very safe belay system that is impossible to detach from the lifeline. And the key point of this activity is that it is self-guided. So when you come in, we teach you how the gear works, and then you lead yourself through the different obstacles, the different courses that we have, going from level 1. Of course, everybody starts on their lower course. And if
it's kind of like the bunny
forward,
slopes when you ski. You start with the bunny slopes, and you work your way up.
Exactly. exactly. That's the same thing, going from the green course, then, you know, green, blue, red, and black course, and for the black diamond. And so we teach you how everything works, and once you're familiar after a little practice course, you go at your own pace, you go with your friends, with your peers, with your family, or your team building your corporate office peers, and you take your time. The staff, TreeTopQuest staff, stays on the ground, and you have pretty much 2.5 hours to go through each level as many times as you want or as many times as you can within this time frame. And we stay on the ground. We monitor everybody from the ground. If anybody's tree hugging, of course, we come help them in less than 2 minutes.
That was not a political statement. That was a literal statement.
You're hanging on to a tree. Now, you look like you're in great shape, Chloe. I mean, have you gone through the obstacle course? What level are you at?
All of them. We have you, to. If you, if
you, you have to be an expert, with, I guess.
Not an expert, but you. We inspect the courses every day just to make sure everything is all right and do some light maintenance. But so we have to, and it's part of the training to be able to do all the courses in less than 5 minutes. An individual would take like 20 minutes approximately. Some people are more advanced than others, of course, but we take less than 5 minutes to go through. If anybody,
they got to get to the tree huggers.
That's right. So
they might want to give those the critical response pages that Brian has to all the people that are going. So when they're hugging the tree, they can page Chloe.
Okay,
help me.
Sorry, Brian, but I hope I will never have to use this.
Hope no one on your tree course has to use it either.
Now you are at the Gwinnett Heritage Center up there in Beaufort, and they, of course, have meeting facilities and everything. So as a company, say, you know, companies can do outings out there. You can have a presentation, a board meeting, a seminar, or whatever, and then afterwards, time to take a break. Let's go out and hug some trees.
We do have a lot of companies doing that. They do like a morning office space meeting, board meeting. They have lunch delivered, and then they come in the trees. They swing through the trees and continue their team building work or meeting outing with us.
That's a great bonding experience.
Absolutely. What kind of companies are you looking for that haven't been able to take advantage of this, or what kind of new clients, customers are you in looking for?
We do team building exercise. So it's most of the time salespeople. Like a company will bring Salesforce. And we also do, since we can welcome the whole family, we have a lot of companies doing family days, on a Friday, you know, family days at the park. And going back to the Gwinnett Environmental and Heritage Center, we not only welcome corporates, but they have a wonderful learning center, and with hands-on science classes and a lot of discovering assets to welcome kids. So we have a lot of field trips, school groups coming to do a combo field trip, doing the morning environmental museum and hands-on science classes, and the afternoon in the trees as well.
How many can you accommodate on your course?
We take groups approximately 40 people, and then we add 20 people every half hour, so there is no backup. So we can take up to 250 people throughout the day.
Wow. I don't know if you know this, Stephen. They actually have wedding receptions now out at the Gwinnett Heritage Center. Have you ever had a bride or a groom or any?
Get married at the top?
I know when I did some work with the Georgia Forest Arena football team, they actually had the big blue mascot zip line. Have you had any celebrities or unique people, you know, do your obstacle course?
I would say that Blue was the most impressive. He had a chance to do the whole course, like two or three different levels with the costume, like with the, you know.
It's like the Philly Fanatic. I mean, that kind of costume.
Definitely. But some brides, no, we have some people taking pictures over there because it's a very beautiful forest, and it's a young forest, and people take pictures at the pavilion. We have a pavilion with picnic tables in the middle of the park where people can bring lunch and everything. But it's so beautiful that some brides take pictures out there.
Any big plans for the future that you any plans to expand or anything you want to add, or right now you're just trying to bring it, you know, just entertain everybody?
All of the above.
All of the above. So just make it bigger and better over the years.
Exactly. We from last year to this year, we added a course. Everybody was asking about more zip lines. So we added one course with zip lines only. So if you do not like the obstacles, you can come and zip line.
Wow.
So we have different options. And so right now we have some leads and trying to expand around Atlanta and different states. And so Treetop Quest, hopefully the plan is to open 7 parks in 10 years.
We joke about you not needing Brian's critical response systems and so forth, but truly everyone is safe, because you talk about the safety issues. I mean they're wrapped up, and I mean even on the obstacle course there's safety.
Even if it's a self-guided activity and you go at your own pace, it's impossible for you to detach your equipment from the lifeline. And so the little kids, 4 to 6 years old, have a little key that is impossible to detach either. And unless you ask a guide, of course. And so they only take care of the key and take it throughout the whole course. Adults, it's a respondent equipment where to move forward, you have to lock yourself. So you cannot move forward if you are not locked. And so it's very safe, and unless you call a guide or an operator, you cannot jump out of a platform.
I assume that you've had to, I don't want you to say the word rescue, but maybe help kids in the past. How about adults? Any funny stories? Any tree huggers out there?
You don't have to use names.
Trust me.
The names have been deleted.
Thank you. Trust me, we help a little bit more adults than kids.
Really? Because kids have no fear.
Right, exactly. They don't know they're supposed to be afraid.
Kids are fearless, and they're a little bit more in shape most of the time. I'm sorry to say that. I have to say it.
I think we all agree with that.
But adults are like, oh, I can do this. And they go on and they use muscles they didn't even know they had.
Or haven't used in decades.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why sometimes we just have to help them and coach. No, we coach people and how to do go through each obstacle the easy way. Because, of course, you can always pull yourself and do the hard way and just hang in there and be a monkey. But that's where you get tired and sore the next day.
I want to go right now.
Yeah.
Now you guys are actually have closed around Thanksgiving. So this is your off season. So this is a busy time for you as far as the paperwork and all the stuff behind the scenes. When do you open up again? And talk about the pricing as well. How's that work?
We are closed from Thanksgiving weekend to
we just missed out, Stephen.
Oh. I know. That was
I better
last
get
weekend.
Start working out, so I'm ready for that level zero.
And we will be reopening in March every weekend. We'll be open every day nonstop throughout the summer for the summer break. And pricing, as far as pricing, it depends on everybody's age, your age range, because kids under 12 years old don't have access to the adult and the more advanced course. And so it ranges from $20 to $50.
And I assume this group pricing as well for big groups.
Exactly. We always have good discounts for groups.
So schools, scouts, businesses, I mean, you name it.
Weddings. You opened a new market for them, Mike.
And scouts. Scouts is a big market, and churches with youth groups. And we are open every weekend for individuals, but we open privately throughout the winter as well, year-round, to those groups. So if you can gather a minimum 10, 12 people, we would open the whole park just for your group.
Ooh, there you go.
Maybe we can do it.
If we're special.
Chloe, you said it at the beginning, but I just want you to repeat it and then add a couple of things. Remind us again, how many zip lines, how many courses? And then my question that's been going through my head, and I've been trying to find the place to ask it, so I'm going to ask it now. What's the highest you can get on this course and zip down?
Okay. So we have 74 obstacles, 20 zip lines, divided in 6 different courses. So level 0, the chickpea for 4 to 6 years old.
And the price you gave, sorry to interrupt, Chloe, the price you gave, you can go on
as many times as you want.
All that stuff as many times as you want, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, for 2.5 hours, wow, exactly. Okay. So most of the time you have time to do... If you're
in decent shape.
If you're like Brian and I play tennis.
Right.
We like to think we're in
exactly.
shape. So
you, in 2.5 hours, in this time frame, you would have time to maybe skip level one, the easy, you know, course, and do all the other levels, two, four, okay. two, three, four, and five.
And then Steven, who says he's not in shape.
Yeah, I'd be on level one with my kids the whole time. Come on, you can do it.
Exactly. You would. And that's exactly it. You can just stay on the ground. It's free of charge to walk around, take pictures, laugh at each other, everybody else. And
encourage everybody.
And encourage everybody. Exactly. So if you do not want to do it and bring your kids, you can do that. You don't have to go with them.
Come on, Steven, quit hugging that tree.
Yeah, but I'm on the ground and I'm hugging the tree. Oh, boy.
The highest point is it goes up to 65 feet off the ground.
Wow.
And the longest zip line is 200 feet long.
That's cool.
So it's a good zip.
That's cool.
How do people reach out to you? Where do they get information? I assume you have a great website.
We do have a great website, www.treetopquest.com. And you'll find the phone number, and you can call and ask for Chloe. I'll be happy to answer any question you may have.
And come March, if someone doesn't have a group to come out while you're closed, but come March when you're open again, can they just come out to the Gwinnett Heritage Center and buy tickets there? Do they need to make reservations? How does that work?
To secure and your spot, we always recommend buying your tickets in advance online.
You can do it online
through the website, and you choose you pick the date and time that you want to start the activity, and we put harnesses aside for you, like a reservation. And otherwise, if you want to come see it before you purchase your ticket,
you read my mind, Chloe.
Exactly. You can just walk around, see if you will like it. Usually you would. and you can buy your tickets when you get here on walking in.
Great. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
For families. I mean, you've got three boys. I mean, you're there.
Well, quick plug. My boys have gone to the Gwinnett Heritage Center on a couple of field trips, and my middle son raves about Treetop Quest. So
good.
I didn't say that at the beginning, but I'll say it now. It's very good.
Give the website one last time.
Treetopquest.com.
Chloe, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I can't wait till March now. We got to put a roof over the thing and make it year-round, 12 months out of the year.
That's right. Let's get on that, Gwinnett.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much, Chloe and Brian. Thank you for your time as well. Want to thank both our guests for appearing today. Brian Clace with Critical Response Systems, Chloe Amara with Treetop Quest. A reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio airs brand new live shows every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 10, and that our program can be heard several times a day, not only on the Gwinnett station here, but on all of the Business Radio X stations throughout Atlanta. And, of course, you can listen to any of the programs anytime, 24/7, by logging on to businessradiox.com. And also, if you have a business out there and want to come on the show and talk about what you do, we'd love to hear from you. We want to talk about all these great companies in Gwinnett County. Give us a call at 770-291-2067 or go to businessradiox.com, and you can go to the Gwinnett Business Radio site and just tell us you want to come on the show. We'd love to have you come on and talk about what you do, just like Brian and Chloe did today. For my partner, Stephen Julian, this is Mike Salmon, and we will see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.